Bible reading is from Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says,' and whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been amongst them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them, for they are a rebellious house. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Chapter 2, verses 22 to 40.
Praise and glory to God.
When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord," and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the Word. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I'll begin my sermon today by telling you a story from Montenegro, the land of the Black Mountains to the east of the Adriatic Sea. A few hundred years ago, there lived a boy in Montenegro by the name of Blasko Brajovic. He was the only boy in his area who could read and write because an Orthodox priest had taught him at Blasko's own insistence. Blasko Brajovic was different from the other boys his age. The other boys wanted to be strong and to become proficient with guns, but Blasko wanted to gain knowledge. Blasko's father, Rade, was a giant of a man, respected by friend and foe alike and well known for his accuracy using the gun and pistol. He used to call his studious son the lamb and often wondered what would happen to him if he would fall among the wolves, so to say. At that time, blood revenge, vendetta, was still common in Montenegro. It was like a disease that was passed from generation to generation. Men of other clans were killed because these men had murdered someone in one's own clan. So one murder resulted in another, a never-ending chain of killings. Revenge was the task of men. It was shameful to kill a woman or a child. And so for many years, Blasko had feared for his father, just as the women of his clan continually feared for their men. But over time, he gained some confidence because his father was cautious and knew how to avoid risky situations. Nevertheless, Blasko thought deeply about this chain of killing he saw amongst his relatives. He eagerly read the Bible that the Orthodox priest had given him. There he read things that would have never have been heard on the lips of anyone in Montenegro. To him, they were deep truths, but troubling nonetheless. He read that you should forgive your enemies, love them even. He read that the peacemakers are blessed, and that to enter the kingdom of heaven, we should become like little children. The words of the Bible were so different from life there in Montenegro. Blasko often thought of his uncle Peter. He still pictured him drenched in blood as he breathed his last. Someone in the Juranovic clan had caused the incurable wound. And so in his anger and grief, Blasko had sworn revenge at the time. But Uncle Peter had already been avenged. Blasko's own father had fatally stabbed the murderer. And so with the words of the Bible going round his mind, Blasko had come to the decision that he would no longer participate in this continual chain of revenge. And so he was quite glad when one day his father told him that they would talk with the Juranovic clan to come to a peace settlement. That Friday, the clans would meet on a neutral location and Blasko would be there too, leading his father's horse. And so the day of the talks arrived. They gathered in a large meadow, and the families of the clans arrived in order of rank. Blasko's father, Rade, was the leader of their clan. After initial talks, both sides listed the many dead who had perished in recent years. But Rade stood up and said, "Well, we have not come together to count the dead. We have come together to make peace. We have to stop the killing. Whoever is for peace, stand and affirm with me." So most people stood longing for peace. Looking around him, Rade held up his hands and shouted, "Let the killing cease. From now on, there will be peace." But at that moment, an old woman among the Juranovic clan loudly called, "No, my son has not yet been avenged." And her youngest son took out a pistol and fired a shot in the direction of the Brajovic clan. Everyone gasped in horror. The fragile peace had already been broken. So Rade called, "Has the bullet hit anyone?" Silence. He looked at his people. "Has anyone been shot?" he asked. Nobody answered. So Rade came closer to the Juranovic clan and addressed the old woman directly. "If any one of our people had been shot," he said, "your youngest son would no longer live. You would be without sons. Do you want that it continues like this?" You told your son to continue the war. Now tell him to make peace. Stand for peace yourself. And so the old woman stood, and Rade again proclaimed, from now on there will be peace. And so at that point, the two clans separated in peace. The families left the meadow by rank. But Rade wondered why Blasco did not bring him the horse as befitted his rank. He saw Blasco sitting in the grass and walked over to him. He asked him why he didn't lead the horse, and Blasco replied, Father, I can't. You will have to lift me on the horse and lead it. So Rade looked at his son. Something was different. What happened? He asked. So Blasco lifted his mantle, and the blood coming from the wound was clearly visible. He had been shot. And so Blasco urged his father, take me on the horse to the doctor. Don't tell anyone. I hope I will live. And his father asked him, why do you only tell me now that you have been shot? And Blasco answered, so that there would be peace. And so Rade saw that Blasco was severely wounded and lifted him on the horse. He led the horse with Blasco sitting on it, hunched over in pain. Those who were still there saw something that went against all customs of Montenegro. The leader of the clan led the horse of his young son. And so one of the Juranovic clan called, scoffing, now that we have peace, does it mean that the wolves have to lead the lambs? But Rade replied, well, this lamb paid for the peace with his own blood. The bullet hit him, but he did not say anything, so that you may have peace. And from that moment on, Blasko Brajovic was known as the one who brought peace to the clans of Montenegro. Well, so far the story from Montenegro. But one of the questions is, why does so often someone have to carry the pain for there to be peace and forgiveness? Why does justice so often come with suffering and sacrifice? The suffering is there in our readings too. So in our first reading, we heard how Ezekiel was called to be a prophet to Israel. His task was to call the people back to God. But right at the beginning, he was told that his role would be one of suffering, that people would oppose him, that it would be like living among briars, thorns, and scorpions, with everyone out to harm him. Other prophets such as Jeremiah, Amos, and Micah also experienced such opposition, and we can read it in their words. Well, we do not even have the words of the prophet Uriah, a contemporary of Jeremiah, because he was actually assassinated by the royal guards. Bringing the word of God to the people is dangerous, but it is through such suffering that God speaks to the world, that the hard hearts of humans are changed. Our reading of the presentation of Jesus in the temple has something joyful to it, at least initially. Finally, here the promised Messiah has arrived, and so Simeon is full of thankfulness. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the face of all people, he praises God. So this is great news. But Simeon knows that this also means great suffering. And so after the proclamation of joy, he talks to Mary directly. And he pretty much tells her that salvation does not mean that everyone will love the Savior. Rather, Simeon says to Mary, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Simeon knows the history of the prophets and how steeped humanity is in sin and in opposition to God. Simeon knows how people do not want to be told the truth, how they want to hang on to revenge and selfishness. Humans are so compromised that goodness always elicits rejection in humans. Some, through the grace of God, go from rejection to acceptance and through that rise rather than fall, but others harden their hearts. But then comes the key insight to the young mother. Simeon says, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Simeon knows that this child can only bring salvation through suffering, and Mary, being the mother, will feel the suffering with her son. It will be so intense that it will feel like a sword piercing the soul. That's not what a young mother would like to hear at the presentation of her son at the temple. This is a festive occasion. But Simeon told her the truth, which he knew through a life of prayer and closeness to God, a life that also reflected deeply on the world. And so there at the beginning of Jesus' life on earth was already the shadow of the cross, the shadow but also the promise and destiny, for through it he would bring peace and salvation. As the prophet Isaiah put it, he was pierced for our transgression, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Jesus became a victim of human violence, of human claims to power and control, but at the core, also a victim of human sin. Still, it was only through that suffering that he could bring peace, that the world could be changed. And of course, Jesus wasn't only another prophet, but is the Son of God. In him, God took the sin of the world on himself. We may prefer peace to come through cups of tea and nice conversations, and some things can be achieved through that. But often for real peace, more is required. The sin of the world runs deep, and the rejection of God is pervasive. Often it is through suffering that we have had peace. Blažko Brajović was the lamb that paid for peace with his own blood there in Montenegro. Jesus is the lamb that paid for our peace and the peace of the whole world with his blood there in Jerusalem.